Things of God. Today we're going to look at God is faithful, the faithfulness of God. So what you guys say is faithfulness? What does faithfulness mean? Anyone? What is faithfulness? What does faithfulness mean, Josh? What is faith? To believe? Okay. When we say someone is faithful, what do we mean? What is faithfulness? What does faithfulness mean? Will, what is faithfulness?
Diligence and committed.
Yeah, okay. Diligence, committed, okay. Jim, anything else?
Yeah. Sticking to what you have faith in.
Yeah. Okay, good. Okay. Yeah, so I think we have an idea what it means. So today we're looking at just different parts of who God is. We're going to learn today that God is faithful. We're actually going to be spending, I think, at least 3 weeks on it. We're going to today look at what the Old Testament. The Bible is divided into two parts, right? Old Testament is before Christ, and then New Testament is when Christ came on earth and beyond, right? So today we're going to look at Old Testament to show that God is faithful, okay? But I want to go over first and also draw, what does this mean for our life? How do we change? So I want to actually do the next 3 weeks on faithfulness. The Old Testament, what does it teach on? The New Testament, and also more practically, how can we be more faithful in our own lives also as well, okay? So in my own study, I think I went the reverse. It was like, I saw all these verses on faithfulness. I think there might be even more verses about us being faithful more than the Bible verse saying God is. But I think, of course, why we're faithful has everything to do with God, right? Okay? Even though I would even say there's times the Bible doesn't say faithful with God, there's moments what he does, his action, already show that he's faithful, okay? So with this, I want to begin by saying, what is the definition of faithfulness? If you guys follow along, point B. Faithfulness, this is what one guy says, Miller Erickson, he's one theologian. He says faithfulness means that he proves true, okay? That he proves true. Oops, sorry. So, yeah, that he proves true. And then Wayne Grudem, which is another guy with theology, he says God's faithfulness means that God will always do what he said and fulfill what he's promised. So basically, God is a God that makes promise, and he it's just the outline for tonight. So that's Wayne Grudem. The other definition is also by Miller Erickson. He puts it this way: he always fulfills what he has said he will do. Okay. So that's what faithfulness is. My own word, I think the most simplest way of defining God's faithfulness is that God is trustworthy. I think it captures it all. That he's true, and also, well, he's reliable. Okay, I think that's basically the definition. So today we're going to look at what the Old Testament says, and then next week we're going to look at New Testament. And then the third week from now, we're going to look at, okay, how do we apply being faithful in our own lives also as well, okay? So we're going to see that the Bible has a lot to declare that God is faithful, okay? Now, if you guys have your Bible, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9.
So, can I bring my own Bible?
You should be bringing your own Bible, right? Here. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Yeah, I think it's a good habit, Josh. I think it's good thing. But I know it's kind of cool for you. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. When we turn there, could I have... Do you need a Bible too?
Yeah. My phone died.
Okay.
Josh, would you be able to read Deuteronomy 7, verse 9?
Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations and reveal the face to those who hate him.
Yeah, we can stop there. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9 shows, in the context, whenever we read the Bible, we must ask what's going on in Deuteronomy, right? Deuteronomy 7, do you guys know who's speaking here? Is Moses, right? Exactly. Deuteronomy is actually one super long sermon. One is super long. Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's fine. One really long sermon, okay, by Moses, okay? So in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, Moses here is speaking, and notice it says here, he is God, the faithful of God, right? That God himself is faithful, right? That God himself is faithful. But this is actually the first time you ever see the Bible say that God is faithful. This is actually the very first time you ever see the Bible say God is faithful. When you think about it, that's amazing, because how many books were before Deuteronomy? How many books were before Deuteronomy?
Revelation?
No, what is the very first book?
Genesis,
Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So it took, four books before it, right? It takes the fifth book in the Bible before the very first time you see God is faithful.
I was going to lend you the charger.
So we see here...
Well, I was going to lend you the charger.
Can we focus?
Okay.
So, you know, so we see the faithfulness of God, right? Can we see the faithfulness of God, right, is here. So, verse 8, so we see the faithfulness of God mentioned, right? But we see how it says this. How is he faithful? It's two ways from context, right? Verse 9, it says, how is he faithful? He keeps his covenant, right? You guys know what covenant means? What is covenant? Covenant means it's like a promise, but it's greater than a promise, right? You know, oftentimes we say something, we say, oh, I will do something. People should already trust us when we say our word, right? Then sometimes people say, oh, no, I promise. Then remember little kids sometimes, right? People say, I really swear, right, or whatever else. And, but in the Bible, there's actually something even greater than promise, and that's a covenant, okay?
So the promise you make with specific people, right?
Yeah, with specific people. With specific people, and there's a whole ceremony. In back in biblical times, covenant was actually not only what God's people did. Was in the Near East, the Middle East, there was a whole thing, a covenant. When you make a covenant, is you actually have two groups of people, or at least two, where they say, I make a promise so much that we're going to do a big festival, right? A big festival, they'll eat the food, and then they'll put meat in the middle, and there'll be fire, barbecuing the meat. Then both individuals will walk past the meat, and they'll cut the meat in half. And they'll actually say, if we don't keep this promise, if one of us breaks it, we deserve to be cut in half, just like the animal should be, right? That's the way it is. That's like really serious. So when God makes a covenant, he's saying, I will keep my word, okay? So notice, this is how we know God is faithful, according to verse 9. He is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant, okay? Who keeps his covenant. Now, remember Moses was talking to a people. Where did the people of the Hebrews, what happened to the Hebrews at that time? You guys remember? God has just freed them from who? The Egyptians, right? They were in slavery for 400 years, in slavery to who? Under the Egyptians. Did God rescue them from their slavery?
With the 10 plagues.
Yeah, with the 10 plagues, and the leader, God used the leader of Moses, right? Now, Moses is now speaking...
Moses talked to Pharaoh, right?
Yeah. This is now, he's speaking to the second generation, and he's telling them God is faithful because he keeps his covenant. Because 400 years before, God made a covenant saying Israel will have their own land, right? So now God is saying you're going to go to the promised land, the land that God says, this is your country, even though you've been taken to slavery here, right? So that's to say that God is faithful. The other way he's faithful is if you look with me in verses 8, it says in verses 8, Will, could you read verse 8 out loud? Of Deuteronomy 7.
Mm-hmm. 7, 8. Mm-hmm. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt.
Yeah, so in verses 8, right, it says, you know, that God loves Israel, right? God loves his people. And not only did he love his people, he said he also kept his oath, right? That's the other way he's faithful. He didn't just... And notice the oath, it says he swore to your forefathers way back, many generations before even they were in slavery. God made a promise, says, I will make sure you come back to his promised land. Now, did God keep his promises? Did God keep his oath and his covenants?
Yes,
right? Because Deuteronomy is really, when he's writing to this, the people already know. Because why? They were free from slavery from Egypt, and they're now going into the promised land. So I want to bring this up is because even though It took the fifth book in the Bible before the first time you ever see it says God is faithful. But if we understand Deuteronomy 7 verse 9, it's pointing us all the way back to what? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. And saying, remember all those things that happened? Guess what? All throughout that, God was always faithful, right? So while it doesn't say in Genesis he's faithful, his action already showed he was what? Faithful. While it doesn't say in Exodus he's faithful, the actions of God's action in Exodus shows already he is what?
Faithful.
Same thing in Numbers by sustaining the people, and same thing in Leviticus with the priest system. The fact that they could even have a whole ceremony, religious ceremony, was because why? God has freed them into the promised land, going into forward to the promised land, freed them from slavery, to worship God, the freedom to worship God freely, rather than under slavery of Egypt, right? All presuppose that God is faithful, right? Okay? So even though, like I said, even though it's the first time it's mentioned, yet I think you can never read the Bible about not seeing, even if it doesn't say the word faithfulness, all throughout the Bible, God is faithful, that is, He is trustworthy. You can trust Him, is the big theme from the Bible, okay? Now let's turn to another passage. Turn to Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32.
We're going to come back to chapter 7.
Nope, we're moving on now. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. Jen, would you be able to read?
The rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. The God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright.
Yeah. Whereas we saw Deuteronomy 7 was the beginning of Moses' long sermon, he's telling the second generation, he's saying, I'm going to die soon, but I want you to know as second generation what God has done, but be faithful to God. And here in Deuteronomy 32, the chapter is actually Moses is singing a song, okay? He's singing a song. And when he sings a song in verses 4, notice what he calls God. He says he's a rock. Okay, it's not an insult. It's actually a praise, his title, okay? It also says what? That God, he is a God of what? Faithfulness, right? He is a God of faithfulness and without injustice, right? So second time you ever see that God is mentioned, he's faithful here, and it's in the context of what? A song, okay? He's praising God. He's worshiping God. And that should be like us, too. When we love God, when we're at church, when we sing music, we should also sing to God and say, hey, thank you, God, for keeping your word, for being trustworthy, for being reliable, right? And even the image of rock, the term rock is actually what? Like a foundation, right? When you build a house, do you want to build a house on sand or on a rock, according to the Bible? You want to build a house on a rock, right? A solid foundation, okay? So that's a imagery that shows that God is what? That God definitely is faithful, okay? Let's turn to Psalms 36, verse 5. Let's turn to Psalms 36, verse 5. Psalms 36, verse 5. Psalms 36, verse 5. Could I have Josh read Psalms 36, verse 5 when you're there?
Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like fountains of God, judgments like great heat.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah, we see verse 5. I know you read verse 5 and 6. But verse 5 mentions that God's faithfulness reaches to the skies, right? It reaches up to the skies. And this is written by who? This is written by David. And this is David praying to God, right? When he says, your faithfulness reaches... What does that mean? Your faithfulness reaches to the skies.
Can you jump that fast? You would have... Well done, summer.
Huh?
You well done, summer.
Yeah. Yeah, right, summer. Okay. Yeah. Psalms 36, verse 5. Yeah, so Psalms 36, verse 5. This is David's prayer to God, right? And he's telling God, your faithfulness reaches the skies. You guys know what that means?
And the chapter is in the entire Psalm, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Usually so trustworthy that it's immeasurable.
Yeah, it's immeasurable, right? It's going up to the skies. Like, if you stack them up from ground up, it goes up to the skies, right? It's so numerous. Thank you, Jim. Exactly. It's so numerous, right? It's so many. It's all around. And it's something that I think is visible also as well. Okay? So Psalms 36, verse 5. shows that, yeah, it is a numerous quantity. There's much act of God that is what is, that shows His faithfulness. Now let's turn to Psalms 89, verse 8. Psalms 89, verse 8. Yeah, Psalms 89, verse 8. I would say Psalms 89 is one of those psalms, as you grow older as a Christian, you should study very deeply. Because this is a... He talks about God's covenant with David. Have you ever wondered why the Bible says that Jesus is the son of David? It's because God makes some promises to David about a son that will come that will really save all of us from our sins also as well. Psalms 89 is singing to God the praise. It's in other places too, 2 Samuel 7 and things like that. But in Psalms 89, verse 8, if you're there in Psalms 89, verse 8, would you be able to read that for me, Will?
O Lord, God of hosts, who is mighty as you are, O Lord, with your faithfulness all around you.
Yeah, so Psalms 89, verse 8, here, right, it begins with a question, and he asks that rhetorically, right? O Lord of hosts, who is like you? And the answer is, no one is like God, right? No one is like God. There's only one person like God, and that's God himself. And yet, when he talks about one of the ways that God is unique than everyone else, it says, your faithfulness also surrounds what? Surrounds me, okay? In life, is there many people that are faithful? Is there many people that are trustworthy all the time? There's very few, right? Even 3 weeks from now, I want to even go over about how the Bible says really very few people are trustworthy. But yet with God, His trustworthiness is great. He's the only one that is 100% of the time trustworthy, right? I, as your pastor, I will disappoint you. I don't want to. But the reality is, I can't be there all the time. And not even just I can't physically, but even times I will fail you. You know, the reality is we need to look and trust in God and love one another, right? So with God, yeah, in Jesus Christ, exactly. Here, God is so faithful, it says His faithfulness surrounds all of Him, right? All of Him. It's not just only within Him, but it's all around Him. It's in the skies, and it's also all around Him. So all this is to show that God is faithful. He's trustworthy, okay? Now let's turn with me to Lamentations 3:23. Lamentations, so if you're in Psalms, you have to head towards a right direction. So if you're in Jeremiah, and then there's a small little book after Jeremiah called Lamentation chapter 3, verse 23. Lamentation 3:23. Lamentation
3:23.
Yes, 3:23. 3:23.
They are new every morning.
Yeah. So now we see, not only do we see all this time, it says that God is faithful. God is faithful. But now we learn one more thing from Lamentation 3:23 is that God's faithfulness is what? Is great, okay? It is great. Or in the Hebrew, it's literally, it's big, okay? It is not just quantitatively a lot, but also quality-wise. It is the biggest thing. It is wonderful. It is awesome. It's like nothing else you've ever seen in anyone else's faithfulness, okay? Now, whenever we read the Bible, we must always ask, why are we looking at this verse? What's going on, right? Because we don't want to pull the Bible out of context. What's going on in Lamentation? You guys know who wrote Lamentation? It's a guy named Jeremiah, okay? Jeremiah was sent by God to give a message to Israel. At that time, Israel was very sinful. This is about 500 BC, like 2,500 years ago. So Israel is in a lot of sin. They follow other gods, right? They bow down to idols, even though God says, don't follow me instead. And when Jeremiah sent his message to told the people to turn back to God, the people accepted his message. No, right? Were they mean to him? Yeah, they were very mean. If you read Jeremiah, they try to drown him. They try to do all kinds of things. The Bible didn't say how he dies, but according to history, like the people that wrote after the Bible was written, he was eventually killed. Okay, killed. He was eventually killed. Yes, killed for being a prophet of God, because he sometimes people speak the word of God, it's not going to be popular, right? Now, Jeremiah is preaching. His preaching is to say, "Hey, turn back to God, otherwise God will raise another country called the Babylonians, which is in modern day Iraq, and will come over, invade our country Israel, and take everybody away, kill a lot of people, and take hostages, to their country back. Now, did that happen in history?
Yes.
Yeah, that happened in 586 BC, okay? 586 BC, it happened, okay? I love it. Okay? So, 586, but afterward, was Jeremiah happy? Did Jeremiah feel like, see, I told you so, and he's all happy? No. What was his heart like? Did he love the people of God? Did he love Israel? Yeah. So he was sad. So he wrote a song, poetry, a song of lament. Lament means he's sad. And that book is known as Lamentation, right? In fact, if you look at Lamentation, it's really poetry. I know we don't see it, but he actually makes it like the alphabet. You know how our alphabet is ABC? In Lamentation in Hebrew, the original writing language, is actually Aleph, Beit, Gamma, it's the alphabet. It goes on like that, okay? And it's in the middle of the psalm. The longest one is actually Lamentation 3, in the middle of the book. He didn't just have A, B, and C. Actually, if you look, it's really long. It's 66 verses. And in it, he goes A, 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 B, 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 C, C, C. So for all this, he's going on. And in the middle of this book, in Lamentation 3:23, in the middle of him crying out, saying, why did God, I know you're just, but I feel so sad for the punishment of people's sin. He cries out and says, you know what? Still, you are what? Faithful, right? You're faithful and they're new every morning, your grace, your loving kindness.
Yeah, there's a praise song.
Yeah.
That
yeah. Yeah. But, yeah. Yeah. This is a song that's often used, right? For songs, it's a lot of people's favorite verse. But I also want to put this in context. When he says God is faithful, God is not only faithful in things that we like, you know, mercy and joy, but God's also faithful to his word. He's trustworthy of his word. When he says that, hey, you will be warned of your sin, if you do not repent, God will discipline you. Will God discipline us for our sin if we don't repent? Yeah, he's faithful in that. So don't forget in the context when Jeremiah says God is faithful to his word. He keeps his promise to his word. He also keeps a promise saying if you do not turn around and change your ways, God will what? Discipline you, right? God will bring things you don't like, punishment and everything else too. So he's faithful. Yeah, he shows mercy when he says he'll be merciful. But he also is faithful in saying if you don't want to change your ways, he will keep his promise of saying he will discipline you, okay? Which is more frightening. But yet, if you look at verse 24, is Jeremiah without hope? No, because he says, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. Why could Jeremiah have hope? Now, remember in this context, he's been talking about an enemy that's coming. The Babylonians is invading for a long time. And people at the time say, no, our country has been so peaceful. What are you talking about? You're silly. Stop being stop being weird. Right? They persecuted him, they beat up on him, they jailed him. And then now it happened. When it happened, he was still sad. But was he depressed? Was he just left only depressed with no hope? No, it says he has hope because why? He trusts in God's promise. Because God's promise is that not only will he discipline, but God's promise is also 70 years after God's punishment, God will bring back the people from exile. Okay? Now, throughout history, has Israel ever been kicked out of their land? Yeah, right? How many times? A lot of times, right? The last time was in 70 AD. That's like about 40 years after Christ died. You remember the Roman army came and destroyed it because of all the things? And there was no country from 70 AD, because they spread all the Jews out, they burned down Jerusalem, they destroyed the temple. From 70 AD, for a long time, there was no country Israel. Do you know how long? Until for? Until 1948. Exactly. In the summer of 1948, for the first, that's how long? That's almost 1900 years. And a country of Israel was formed again, right? And today, there is an Israel. Now, how many countries do you know in the world that could be gone for 1900 years and could exist still today? I don't know of any country that could be gone. Like, the people get kicked out, and then finally, in 1948, after World War II, all the Holocaust victims and Jews elsewhere finally came back and formed a country, right? I would say that's the work and the grace of God. In most history, when people are kicked out of the land, within three generations, they're no longer, yeah, they're gone, right? Or they're just only a subgroup in another country, right? A minority in another country. But here we see, only because God's promise is that, what? God will always bring back. Because of their sin, yes, they'll be kicked out, but they'll be brought back. which I think is a great sign that the promises of God is true. They got kicked out in the Syrian during the 700. They got kicked out in 586 with the Babylonian, and also as well with the Romans Empire. And yet in all those times, and don't forget, even way before, there was Egypt, right? Do you remember Egypt? All that time, you know, we see that, wow, God has always been faithful. Now, some historians would say there's no evidence of the Egyptian thing. I think there is. But no historians dispute the Babylonian captivity. Because the writing of Hebrew look alike like the Chaldean or the Babylonian language. And we have all these evidence today, okay? So in all of that is to say that the reason why God brings them back all the time is because why? Even though he disciplines them, will he always bring back Israel? Yes, because he keeps his word that there will always be an Israel up to the second coming of Jesus Christ, up to the end of the world, okay? I think that's a pretty strong evidence. Let's turn also as well with me to Psalms 89, verse 8. Psalms 89, verse 8. Let's go back to the book of Psalms, which is if you make head towards the right direction. Psalms 89, verse 8. But I'll just read this real quick. This is again the same psalm, the Davidic psalm, okay? Psalms 89, verse 8 says, O Lord God of hosts, who is like you, Almighty God? Your faithfulness surrounds you. Whoops. I think I wrote that verse. Okay, I'm sorry. I read the wrong verse. Turn with me now to Psalms 119. We want to ask, how long is God's faithfulness for? Psalms 119, verse 90. Now, when we say someone is faithful, if they could only be faithful for a short time, you would say no, right? So we must ask the question is, okay, if God is faithful, how long is he faithful for? Okay? Psalms 119, verse 90. Jin, would you be able to read Psalms 119, verse 90? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth and it stands fast.
Yeah, so when God promised something, that promise has no expiration date. It'll never go bad. It always will be the case, right? For how long? It says through all generations, right? All generations, he keeps his promise. To every people of every generation, he keeps his promise, what he says. And notice he says that you establish the earth and it stands, right? So that shows God's faithfulness. God says, hey, the earth must exist. And does the earth exist? And it'll stand. I would even say, how long is God's faithfulness? Is this? Is it, if it's faithfulness that keeps the earth standing, so long as the earth always exists, God will always be what? Faithful. But his faithfulness goes beyond earth also, right? Into eternity. Even before there was never earth, he was always faithful to his word already. So that shows that God is always, always faithful, right? God is faithful for eternity. God is faithful forever. Let's turn now with me to Psalms 105, just to show that there's another verse that shows that God is faithful forever. So Psalms 100, verse 5. Will, would you be able to read Psalms 100, verse 5?
For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
Yeah, notice the second line of verse 5, it says his faithfulness is to all generation. Again, that's like the same thing in Psalms 118. But God's faithfulness is never alone. Notice that in the first line of Psalms 100, it says what? God is good, and his loving kindness also is forever, okay? He's always lovingly kind, and he also as well is faithful. Now, I think that should blow our mind away, because do we know anyone else in this world that could be faithful forever? I think the only one is God, right? The only one is God. We will never be faithful. We will never keep our word 100% for all of time. But God is. And that should cause us to be amazed, to be at awe, okay? Turn with me also to Psalms 33, verse 4. So we've seen a lot of verse that says that God is faithful, that he himself is faithful. We saw some verses that talk about God's faithfulness is forever. That is, it's for a long time to all generations. Now we're going to see that because God is faithful, that means everything he does is also faithful, okay? Psalms 33, verse 4. Psalms 33, verse 4. Josh, you want to read that for me?
For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness.
Yeah, so because he is faithful, we shouldn't be surprised that his work, what he does, is faithful too, right? That is everything he does is actually to keep his promise, okay, to keep his promise. I notice again, faithfulness is never alone, because it also talks about God's word is also upright. So because God is upright and because God is faithful, guess what? God's work, whatever he does, will be faithful. Okay? God's faithfulness is also what he does that's faithful. It's also sometimes we often think, okay, God, he's faithful in doing good things to us. But the word of God also says he's also faithful. That is, he's trustworthy. That is, he keeps his promise, even of what? Going against sin and sinners also as well. I know most of us don't usually think of it like that. When we think of God's faithfulness, we always think of what does the benefit mean. But the word of God is also true. It says that he is also faithful in going against those that are evil. Turn with me to Psalms 54, verse 4. Psalms 54, verse 4. Psalms 54, verse 4. Josh, you want to read Psalms 54, verse 4?
Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. Who will return the evil to my enemies. Your faithfulness put an end to them.
Yeah. So we see here in verses 5, right? Here we see, I like how you read verse 4 earlier, right? God is helper. That should blow our mind away. Because God is what? If he's a king, he's what? The greatest king of all, right? The king of kings. If he's a master, then he's the greatest master of all. He's the what? Lord of lords, right? God is not even like human boss, right? He's greater than all, and we should serve him. We should be helping him. But the verse says what? God is also a helper. As powerful, as great as he is, he's also a helper of who? Of us, right? He's our helper. And in verses 5, one of the ways we see his helpfulness is what? That he says that he also, those that are evil, those that are enemies of God's people, what does it say? He will make them pay one day. It might not be right now, but one day he will make them pay. And he will destroy them. And what he does is also because of his faithfulness. Which is just like what we saw earlier with Jeremiah, right? With Lamentation. There's two sides to God's faithfulness. Faithfulness in saving, and also if no one does not repent, those that do not turn around, he's also faithful in what, punishing those that are evil or his enemies also as well. Okay? God's faithfulness is to the Davidic covenant. We'll talk maybe next week a little bit more about this. I think I put the wrong reference. This psalm says, my faithfulness and my loving kindness will be with him. And in my name, his horn will be exalted. I would say this is a promise he keeps to Jesus eventually. That God will be faithful to Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought about it? When Jesus Christ went and died on the cross, that's a pretty frightening thing. He's going to experience something he's never experienced before, which is separation from what? God the Father. Remember when he was on the cross, what did he cry out? What we read on Sunday morning, this past Sunday morning. Psalms 22, right? My God, why have you forsaken me? Do you realize for Christ to go on the cross, to say, I know that I'll die for the sinners, and also 3 days later, I will be raised back to life? That requires what? Incredible, what? Faith. That God the Father will do it, right? And Psalms, I do believe Jesus probably read the Psalms quite a bit when he was on earth. I don't have time to go over this, but I actually believe that most of the Psalms were actually written primarily for Jesus in mind, for him to do his ministry. And I think the reason why I make that is because the more I understand deeper Psalms, the more I see it's actually about the Davidic covenant. And if it's about the Davidic covenant, then the Davidic covenant is about a person. That is who? Jesus Christ, right? The Son of David. And in light of this, I would even say, what a great promise that God will be the Father's faithful to him. So that, and the horn is often used as an analogy to say salvation, right? You offer sacrifice of an animal. To say the sacrifice, my name, his horn, his salvation will be exalted, okay? We'll look at that more next week. But I want to show, what does this mean for our life? If God is trustworthy, what does this mean for our life? The first application is this. We should praise God for his faithfulness. Psalms 89, verse 5, mentioned people praising God, okay, for him. Psalms 89, if you're with me in Psalms 89, verse 5, Psalms 89, verse 5. James, did you want to read verse 5 for us? Psalms 89. If not, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's why I remember when I first started reading the Bible, it was so confusing.
You want me to read it?
Oh no, James could read it. Thank you, James.
Oh, is that a heaven?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're comfortable? You don't have to.
That's a heaven, prayers.
Yeah.
Your wonder. Oh Lord, your faithfulness is in the assembly.
Good.
Assembly of the Holy Ones.
Thank you. Okay, yeah, we'll stop there. So we see here, right, that in Israel, the assembly of God's people, when people gather together, in the context is talking about Israel, but when they gather, they, what do they sing about? God's faithfulness, okay? So as application, we need to, what? Praise God, okay? We need to sing about God's faithfulness at church, and also in our own lives. When we're driving, there's times where we should just, hey, this, you know, sometimes I listen to sermon, but what I need to do, actually, what I realize more is, sometimes it's good to just listen to songs and worship God, right? And just praise Him for who He is and His faithfulness, right? I think we should also share with one another in our lives of how is it God is faithful, to encourage one another to continue to trust in God, right? And I would also say we must also be faithful. If God is faithful and we say we follow God and we want to be like God in following Him, we must also in our life be what? Keeping our words, okay? Which 3 weeks from now, or 2 weeks from now, I want to go over that more in depth of applying that. So next week we'll look at the New Testament. Today we look at all the Jewish scripture, but next week we're going to see onwards. And we're also going to see Christ's faithfulness. But at the very least today I want to show that, God is faithful and we could trust in Him, right? We could trust in Him, but we must always follow His word, okay? Sometimes people feel the pressure of like, oh, my work want me to sin, or my relationship want me to sin. But I know it goes against God's word, but I'm going to sin anyways. Because why? Because God can't help me in the circumstance. But God's word says what? He's trustworthy. Trust in God, okay? Trust in God in your difficulties, in your trials, and all the things that you do. Trust in God, okay? And Christ is our great example, okay? Let's go around right now. Share with us what is it that you guys learned.